Today's reading is from Psalm chapter 139, verses 7 through 12. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the furthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall surely hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Does that sermon bumper stress anybody else out? Yes. It's our last week. It's like really effective. Almost too effective. Hi, church. You don't know it, but you stumbled into an important day in my life. Thank you. It's really good to be here. I'm so aware this morning that all of us come in the middle of whatever story we're in. And so as we pray today, I want to acknowledge that. Some of you, it's a really good day. Some of you, it's a really bad day. Some of you, it's it. And you're here. And I hope you have a great 20 minutes of no one asking anything of you. That's my great hope for you this morning. I believe God will meet each one of us. My name's Kylie, by the way. I attend St. Luke's Midtown since it opened. We were at St. Luke's North for a little while before that. My husband's name is Phil. My son's name is Dax. He's the kid that never has any shoes on. I'm also the social media manager at St. Luke's, so like, comment, subscribe on all channels. It's just St. Luke's Indy, and it really does matter, so thank you. Okay, let's pray. God, we've all come here for different reasons, really. But I pray whatever we came with, you meet. That you meet us at whatever page of the story we're on. That if people in this room need rest today, that that's what they would find. That those needing comfort would find it, and that those needing challenge would find that. It's one of my favorite things about you, Jesus, when I read about you in the Gospels. You're always preaching to everyone all at once. Everything you say. And it's something mysterious that you can do that through people like us. But we pray that you would. We've come expectant, and we pray that you will meet us here. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to introduce you all to Morgan Binkard. She was an artist. She is an artist, but she had her art up a little while ago. And I've known Morgan for like a decade. Is that true? I've known Morgan since she was 12. And she was an artist even then. And the reason I'm introducing Morgan to you is, one, she's awesome. Two, she asked me today, what's your topic? And I said, anxiety. And Morgan laughed. Because I've spent a lifetime in training to preach this sermon here to you today. When Mindy said the topic was anxiety, I went, oh, no problem. Yeah, this is very funny of God. But I'll start the sermon by saying to you, just full disclosure, I have a generalized anxiety disorder. Hold your applause. I take Lexapro every day. Love it. I have years of therapy under my belt. So I have probably had this anxiety disorder my whole life. And so I'm coming to you this day having walked my road with what we're talking about. And so your road might be different. This might not be a road you've ever been on. Great. Great on you. If you want to talk more about what it might look like for you or a loved one who's struggling to get some help, I'm not a professional person, but I can help you understand that anxiety is a really hard thing, and it's going to be, but it doesn't need to be as hard as it is when you don't have help. And so that's like my soapbox, and now I'm going to get down and get on my other one. Okay, but that's that one. It's hard. It doesn't need to be as hard as it is when you're not treated, when you don't have help. That's a hard road I walked. I could save you that field trip if you would just believe me. Okay. Anxiety is an emotion that we have. It's a brain chemical reaction that happens in our brains when we don't feel safe. There's kind of that example. If you're getting chased by a bear, you know, you want your brain to feel some anxiety. You want your brain to shortcut everything to the amygdala. You know, you want everything to shut down and just go right there to this fight, flight, freeze situation. If there's a bear, you probably want to flight. Freezing, you might get eaten. I don't know. But your brain would figure that out for you. Our brains are very good at this. Anxiety in America is at an all-time high, especially among our teenage population, especially after COVID, which tells me, and as I've experienced my own anxiety, both like regular and clinical, it's not just about physical safety. Anxiety also triggers in our brains when we don't feel relationally safe, when we don't feel valued, when we don't feel like we have enough or we've done enough. I'm going to tell you like a little COVID story, like we all need to remember back or something, but it was a great example of why some of these shifts have happened. So when COVID struck, wow, it was so dramatic. When COVID came, my son was 2, and he still didn't wear shoes, but he was 2. And my son does not eat regular foods, and he would not be alive if he didn't have milk to drink. It's like his only nutrient. He's a very picky eater. And so when COVID happened, all of a sudden, this thing that I had like always been able to count on, like I can go to Kroger and I can get my son milk. Like this is not a problem that I'm going to have. This is something I can always count on. All of a sudden, that was not something that I could count on. And this very solid thing in my life suddenly had all these gaps in it. And then I worked at a church at the time. I was a pastor, so I could go to work. I could do my job. And that was something I had always been able to count on. And then all of a sudden, our church was shut down, and my job became drastically different. And so this line, this solid thing that I had built just felt so concrete. Like, I can go to work every day. All of a sudden, I couldn't do that, and I couldn't go to church, and I couldn't do the things that I had counted on. And then we got COVID, and I remember that being so hard. And then my health, you know, you just wondered, like, what is going to happen? These healthy people, they're just falling apart. Like, it was so scary. I don't need to tell you what it was like, but, like, I'm a healthy person, and now all of a sudden that might not be good enough. And then I remember thinking, okay, at one point, we're all stuck in this house together, and we're just losing it. We are losing it. And I called my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law in Minnesota. I'm from Minnesota. That's going to come back up, so you just keep that one in there. One time I told someone I was from Minnesota, and they went, oh, that makes sense. I still don't know what that means. Anyway, I called my mother-in-law and my sister-in-law in the car because I didn't want Phil to hear, and I said, we are not okay. We are not okay, and we need to come home. And they had to think about it. They did, and they're not wrong. And then we put our 2-year-old baby in the car, and we drove 12 hours and stopped one time. We never took him out. We stopped at one gas station. This thing that we had always taken so for granted as a solid, our family will always be there to catch us. All of a sudden, there's all these gaps. We all relate to that. We all had our own stories, some much more dramatic than this. And I would say, I'm using this example because these gaps, I think, are where our anxiety comes from. And I think it's why anxiety is up so high now. These gaps have been made so prominent in our mind and in our thinking now. So Sometimes anxiety in the world we live in seems very sane. So what does God have to say? What does our faith have to offer? When I was a teenager, I didn't grow up in church. I started going to church as a teenager. And I started going to a Methodist church. Hey, yo, here I am, full circle. And I was, like I said, always an anxious person. I also struggle with depression. And so that was well underway at that time in my life. And I remember sitting in the seat, and the pastor preached a sermon and said, "There is no room for anxiety or depression in the kingdom of God." To which I want to say, like, here I am. Yeah. I think a lot of us have heard something like that. Some of us might have said something like that. It's okay. Sometimes when we read scripture, particularly around anxiety, it does feel like God might just be saying, stop it. That to feel anxious about something, to be afraid of these gaps coming, might be unfaithful of us in a way. And so we kind of come up with one of these two options. We have people like me who tend to like make a home in their anxiety. Like, I've made it real comfy in there. I like hanging out in there. Anxious is a nice place for me to be. Honestly, if I can stay real worried about these things up here, I never have to go down here. So anxious is pretty nice for me sometimes. Or there's people who it's kind of like, stop it. They don't let anxiety even in. They won't even think about it. They won't entertain it. Stop it. What I would propose to us today is that there's a third way. There's a third thing. What if we let our anxiety lead us to God? What if we let our anxiety be a pathway to our God? There's nowhere in scripture better to look at hard feelings and good feelings and the mix of what it is to be human than in the Psalms. How many of you love Psalms? Hate? I feel like it goes either way. Oh, none of you hate the Psalms? Thank you for your honesty. I see you. I don't know, I feel like some people just aren't into them. Some people really like them. I really like feelings, so I love the Psalms. Psalms have praise and glorifying God. And then, like, in the next sentence, it's like, and I will bash the dog's heads against the rock. It's like, they're really intense. But it captures this whole spectrum of what it is to be a human being. And so as we talk about anxiety and what God might have to say with it, let's look at the Psalms. Because we have this God hearing this whole thing. Hearing the best and the worst of humanity, and God is there for all of it. There's not part of the psalm that God's like, nope, none of that. No, like, he takes it all. So we are going to be in Psalm 139 today, which my favorite scripture reader of all time read for us already. David, the writer of Psalm 139, is King David. King David is no stranger to anxiety. David is the one, the little brother, who faced down Goliath with a rock, okay, the giant guy. David is the one whose best friend's dad wanted to kill him, not just his dad, but like a king with many resources, is hunting David down. David is an outlaw on the run for a lot of his life, moving from one place to another. David, who even when he is king, has all these family problems, all these political revolts. David is no stranger to anxiety. So when we look at Psalm 139, I think it offers us something that David worked hard to write for us. It was hard won. In the first part of the psalm, David writes about how God knows everything. And then there's this part of the psalm, which I'm going to read again, that talks about how God is everywhere. Let's read this together. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. Basically the underworld. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light become night around me, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. David, do you notice in these verses, has done a lot of running? He's run from a king. He's hidden from people trying to kill him. He's visited dark places in himself. He's faced dangers that are much bigger than him. He's made his own problems that he has to get himself out of. He's been weak. He's been out of control. Everything in David's life has a lot of gaps. And I think what David is telling us in this psalm is that in every cave he hid in every moment he messed up, in every family problem, in every giant he was facing, every time he got to one of those corners, there was God. If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I go to the depths of Sheol, you're there. No matter what happened to David, no matter where he went, no matter how many of these cracks he fell through, God always was there with the catch. What if? What if? Our anxiety in these moments could be trusted. That instead of trying to draw more lines, instead of trying to block it out, instead of trying to get real busy, what if we trusted the kindness of God to catch us? There is nowhere you can go. There's no situation you can get yourself in. No place in your own heart or your own story or your own darkness where Jesus is not already there and waiting. What does that mean? I can't really tell you for you. Anxiety is an emotion. It's a chemical in our brain. It's also something that happens in our heart. It's our minds up here getting really busy and seeing all these problems and all the cracks and all that could fall through, but it's our hearts where Jesus catches us. And the best I can do for you this morning is just tell you a story about Jesus catching me. It might not seem like a miracle. It's pretty small. But I have a million of these stories, but they're all just like this one. I don't have one more impressive. But here's a story about the kindness of God. Like I said, I have had anxiety forever. And one way that that manifests for me, much better with Lexapro, but one of the ways it manifests for me is I get these invasive thoughts about self-harm. And that can be really disturbing. That's disturbing for you to hear. It's all, imagine it in your head. You're just walking around and boom, okay? First thing I want to say to you is, I'm okay. Everything's good. You don't need to worry about it, okay? My counselor at the time I was like working that out gave me this idea. Kylie, what if when you get these invasive thoughts, these anxious thoughts, these disturbing thoughts, what if instead of circling in them or blocking them out, you let them be a signal to you that you needed comfort? Okay, I'll try it. So we were, my husband and Phil and I, this was pre-Dax, we were on a road trip to Minnesota. Thank you. It did come back, A+. And how many of you are messy car people? loud and proud. The rest, you're lying. I'm checking everybody's car. You guys were not proud enough. My car always smells slightly of spilled milk. I don't know. Just the truth of my life. I'm a messy person. But road trip on day like 1 million, for like a Christmas road trip to Minnesota, our car was just straight trash. Like there's McDonald's wrappers, empty water bottles, like I don't even know, like gum, weird gifts we got in the back seat. Like this is a mess. This is our last stop. And we're going to a family member's house that's really hard for me. Triggers a lot of anxiety for me. I always put it last. We're going way up northern Minnesota. It's Christmas Day Eve, okay? Everything's closed. It's dark. It's snowing like Minnesota sleet snow, very cold. Phil, my husband's driving. He's about to fall asleep. So he's listening to Screamo. You know, like that. I am having an anxious moment. That was not helpful, but he had to do what he had to do. We were in our own worlds. I start having these invasive thoughts. I know where I'm going. I know I'm anxious. I know I'm feeling all of this. And then I remember, oh, instead of getting really busy right now, instead of getting really caught up or really shut down, I have this other choice. I can choose kindness. I can trust that God is going to catch me. And so my counselor had given me lots of tools. If you've been to counseling, that's like a cool thing you get to have, tools. And so she told me, you know, maybe get a soft blanket or, you know, some nice smelling lotion or a nice hot, like a peppermint tea or something. And so I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I'm looking around, trash car, right? And we got the rah, 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 and my husband's on a different, he's on a different planet, and it's sleeting, and it's dark, and we're going to a very sad place. And I'm like, okay, okay, kindness, I don't know. I find a tube of chapstick. Okay, it must be enough. I'm going to kindly put on chapstick. I uncap it. As soon as I uncap it, my husband is pulled over into a gas station. We're in the middle of nowhere. The windshield wipers had frozen, Minnesota problem. And he needed to wipe them off because they were wipe off our windshield. I'm like shocked. And the gas station's open, which is wild because it's Christmas Day night. Okay, another opportunity. So I recap my chapstick, get out of the car. Go in, okay, God, kindness, hot chocolate. Gas station hot chocolate, nothing better. I get the hot chocolate, bring it up to the counter, feeling very, like I'm doing the tools. Put it up on the counter, and the clerk looks at me and goes, Merry Christmas. Well, thank you for that, Lynn. Lynn, you're hired. You're coming with me everywhere. No, it was. That's the whole of my story. He caught me. He caught me in kindness. And what I would say to you this morning, it's okay to be anxious. And the kindness of God can be trusted. It can. Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being the kind of God who cares and sees and knows, for being the God of the big and the small. Thank you for your kindness that catches us always. Help us trust you enough to let go sometimes, to fall back, to be held. Amen.